All right, open your Bibles, please, to the book of Psalm, chapter 118. And if you want to get Psalm 118 and Isaiah 28, Isaiah 28. And we're going to start with those two passages. I want to look this morning at the church seen in the Bible as a building. The church seen as a building. We're not talking about the physical building that we're meeting in. We're talking about a metaphor that the Word of God uses that describes the functionality of the church. And Lord willing, if God so leads, we're going to look at the church seen as a building today, church seen as a body next week, and then the church seen as the bride the week after that. Those are three illustrations that the Bible gives that refers to the church as, and there's something to be learned from each one of those. And so today, that is why all of the colorful blocks are here. This is not just the children left over playing. This is for illustration of the message so that we can physically see it. And I don't do that a lot, but I think it'll be helpful specifically for the message today. So Psalm 118, reading verse 18 through 24, it says, "The Lord hath chastened me sore, but he hath not given me over unto death. Open to me the gates of righteousness. I will go into them and I will praise the Lord. This gate of the Lord into which the righteous shall enter. I will praise thee, for thou hast heard me and art become my salvation. The stone which the builders refused is become the head stone of the corner. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it." The psalmist here is giving testimony of his sinfulness, but then God making him righteous with the Lord becoming his salvation. And Jesus Christ being set up as he is the chief cornerstone. Every building has a foundation, a solid, they need to have a solid foundation, but Jesus Christ is the cornerstone. In Isaiah 28, verse 13 through 16, the Bible says this, "The word of the Lord was unto them precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little and there a little." Now, God had given his word a little bit at a time, a little bit at a time. Look, that's how we learn the Bible, isn't it? We get a piece. It is impossible to preach the whole Bible every Sunday. Some of you think that I might do that every Sunday. But it is line upon line, precept upon precept, one thing at a time, one message at a time, one passage at a time. But the people here had not listened to it. And so it says that they might go and fall backward and be broken and snared and taken. Wherefore, hear the word of the Lord, ye scornful men that rule this people which is in Jerusalem, because ye have said, we have made a covenant with death, and with hell are we at agreement. When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, it shall not come unto us, for we have made lies our refuge, and under falsehood have we hid ourselves. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste. And we look at this, the Lord Jesus Christ introduced as the cornerstone that is necessary. People can believe religion, people can believe lies, people can lean on their own works. Nothing takes the place of Jesus Christ. He is the foundation. Turn to Matthew 21, Jesus Christ himself. Jesus Christ himself using these passages to teach a principle. And let's pray, and we will get through a couple more passages and we'll get to just some good practical things for our church today. Father, I ask that you would help us. Lord, we need your Holy Spirit to work through your word. Father, give us receptive hearts to the message. Father, I pray that the illustration will be helpful. And God, ultimately, we want you working. We're here. God, I pray that we're here with just a desire to learn to be better, to learn to do what you would have us to do. And God, may your word work in our hearts. God, if there's someone here not saved, I pray that you would work in their heart to bring them to yourself today. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, Matthew 21, verse 42 through 45, Jesus himself speaking, he's referring back to these Old Testament passages. Jesus saith unto him, did ye never read in the scriptures? You know, he's talking to Pharisees. He's talking to religious people. And he says, you know what? I have to ask you something. Have you ever read the Bible? You're religious, but have you read the Word of God? And he's asking them this. And he says, the stone which the builders rejected, the same has become the head of the corner. This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. He says, hey, did you ever read Psalm 118? Did you ever read Isaiah chapter 28? This is what the Bible says. Verse 43, therefore say I unto you, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you and given to a nation which bringeth forth fruits thereof. He says, nation of Israel, religious nation of Israel, which has rejected the corner, the cornerstone, the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, guess what? That cornerstone's still going to be effective. Only it's going to be for the church instead of the nation of Israel. Now, God will get back to the nation of Israel during the tribulation time. But it is for the church. He says, I'm giving it to someone else. I'm going to give it to people that are going to be fruitful to build on the cornerstone. Now, understand that. I'm going to give it to people who will take the cornerstone, the foundation, and will build on that foundation. And it says in verse 44, whosoever shall fall on this stone shall be broken, but on whomsoever it shall fall, it will grind him to powder. And when the chief priests and the Pharisees had heard this parable, they perceived that he spake of them. Their perception was pretty good that day. What he's saying is this. We are going to either fall on Jesus Christ asking for salvation, or one day he's going to fall on us as the judge. The difference between a person being in heaven or hell is whether we fall on Jesus or Jesus falls on us. Whether we come to Jesus asking for his forgiveness, asking for eternal life through his sacrifice on the cross, or whether we stand before him having rejected him. Remember, the stone which the builders rejected is become the head of the corner. If we have rejected Jesus Christ, we will stand before him as judge, and our eternity will be hell forever. There's no escape from hell if you reject Jesus Christ. There is only one way to God. No man cometh to the Father, Jesus said, but by me. So understand that you, as an individual person, need to come to a point where you realize you're a sinner and you fall on Jesus Christ saying, have mercy on me, I'm a sinner, I believe you died for me, Jesus, would you save me? The words may vary, but the belief and the intent of the heart must be that. You must come to Jesus Christ, repenting of your sin, turning to Jesus Christ, asking him for salvation in order to be saved. Now, when a person gets saved, and I'm using some of this for illustration a little bit later on, but there's people that are not on the foundation. They're out here on the edges. When a person gets saved, they get put on the foundation. Now, this is a good, solid table. Jesus Christ is the cornerstone of the foundation. The foundation is the scriptures. Jesus Christ is the foundation. Jesus is the living Word. Remember, in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God, the same was in the beginning with God, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Okay, so the foundation, and this is a good solid foundation, it's not too shakable. You can pound it, you can beat on it. Jesus Christ is an unfailing foundation. And when a person gets saved, they get on the foundation. That's a great place to be. Founded on Jesus Christ, saved by the blood of Jesus Christ, that's a great place to be. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 talks about a personal building on Jesus Christ. This is what you do as an individual. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. In verse 9 through 13, the Bible says this, for we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. God's building, according to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder. I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon, for other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul, presenting to this church of Corinth, he says, I have laid the foundation for you. I have given you the gospel of Jesus Christ. I have told you of the death, burial, and resurrection. I have preached to you the Word of God. I have introduced Jesus Christ to you. You have come to Jesus Christ, and He is the only foundation. If you're not on Jesus, you have no foundation. You want to see a floundering world? Take a look at people that don't know Jesus. Take a look at people that don't have the Scriptures. That is a floundering world. But boy, when you get saved and you get on the Lord Jesus Christ, you're not floundering anymore. Christian people shouldn't be floundering. We have a foundation that's unshakable. So Jesus Christ is the foundation. The Apostle Paul lays it and he says, look, okay, there's a wise master builder. Do you know what the plans are? We got the blueprints right here. Jesus Christ, the foundation. And then the blueprints of how to live a Christian life are right here. We're not talking just about a saved life. We're talking about living for the Lord Jesus Christ. A building. And Jesus Christ, the foundation, you're on the foundation. Now, here's what it says. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Once you get on this foundation, you are secure in Jesus Christ. The eternal security of the believer is a Bible doctrine. And you cannot lose salvation. You are safe in Jesus Christ. Say, what if I falter? What if I sin? Jesus Christ paid for your sins. Should you sin? No. But if we sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Praise God for that, because how many of you have sinned since you've been saved? Okay, so have I. In my hand, I can put both of them up. Okay, now, we've got the foundation. Every person individually, you're building your life on the foundation. Gold, silver, precious stones, or wood, hay, stubble, you're building your life. You will give account for your life before the Lord Jesus Christ one day. Now, this is not for salvation, this is for reward. Say, some people, it's all going to burn up. It's completely gone. Nothing left. It's all burned up, but yet they're saved. So is by fire. There's some people that get saved, and then their life, they do nothing for the Lord Jesus Christ. They did put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, but when they stand before Jesus there, they're going to have a handful of ashes, and that's it. But then there's some people that say, you know what? Jesus is my foundation. I love Him. I'm going to read the Bible every day. I'm going to go to church. I'm going to talk to other people about Jesus Christ. I am going to pray. I'm going to teach my children. And they are building things that are lasting, that are eternal. They're going to go to heaven. There's going to be reward for the service for Jesus Christ. And this thing goes through the fire. And the gold, silver, and precious stones last. That's individual. Now, we get beyond individual to the church. Remember 1 Timothy chapter 3. Go ahead and turn 1 Timothy 3, Ephesians 2. 1 Timothy chapter 3 and Ephesians 2. 1 Timothy 3 describes the church. In chapter 3, verse 15, it says this, "But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth." The church is referred to as the house of God. It's a metaphor. Okay? Yes, the church is where God dwells. The Holy Spirit dwells in you if you're a believer. But it's given the house of God. The church is referred to as the house of God. Ephesians 2, I want to read verse 13 through 22. And I have to read, I was going to read verse 19 through, but we have to get up to 13 because it gives us that salvation story, that person coming to Christ. Now, verse 13, now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were afar off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. How many of our songs that we sang this morning referred to that? I was a sinner, but now I'm made nigh. How? By the blood of Jesus Christ. And that's the only way. For he is our peace, who hath both one and hath broken down, made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us. That middle wall of partition, specifically speaking in this chapter, is talking about Jews and Gentiles. You know, when people get saved, there's no racism left. Okay, they're together in Christ. But it also breaks down a middle wall of partition between us and God the Father. Having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. See, the Gentiles had the law of their conscience. The Jews had the law written in the Word of God. We have both. The law shows us that we come short of the glory of God and that we need the Savior, Jesus Christ. It has a great purpose. The law shows us what God receives, what God views as sin. Without sin, we would not know what the law was. Or without the law, we would not know what sin was, right? You know what God hates because of what he says he hates. You know what God loves because of what he says he loves. So, it goes on, and then it says this, verse 17, and came and preached peace to you, which were afar off, and to them that were nigh, for through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. That's great to be saved, isn't it? Now, therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth into an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. He gives the illustration of the church as a building. In 1 Corinthians, it's you individually are going to stand and account for your building. In Ephesians, he's saying, okay, now the group of you are a building. Jesus Christ is the cornerstone of the church. The scriptures are the foundation of the church. They don't move, they don't waver. When a person gets saved, they get on the foundation. But then we need to make up and look at and view the church as a building. So the church is made up, first of all, of believers. A person has to get from unbelief over here to belief and get on the foundation. That's the first thing. Then the church is made up of baptized believers. Acts 2:41, but they that gladly received the word were baptized, and there were added to the what? Church, about 3,000 souls. So they received the word, they got saved, they got on the foundation. To get then into the church as an assembly, as a whole, it's not just attending. A person needs to get baptized. And what does their baptism show? It shows the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is a person stepping out publicly in demonstration before the group of believers saying, I too believe in the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm a believer. I'm giving a public example of that. I'm giving a public testimony of that. We often refer to the wedding ring and say, look, this ring does not make me married. I am married. I'm married. If I put it in my pocket, I'm married. What does this do? It tells everybody else I'm married. Right? So baptism is you demonstrating to the body of believers, I have also received Jesus Christ as Savior. I believe in the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. I am buried with Him in baptism and raised to walk in newness of life. I am making a commitment. I am stepping into the church to be a member of the church through baptism to make a commitment that I have a new life in Jesus Christ. I'm not a fake, I'm not a fraud, I really believe, and I want to demonstrate that to everybody through the ordinance of baptism. So a person gets baptized, and they get added to the church. They get baptized, they get added to the church. The church then becomes this nice building. Pretty good building, right? So the church is then also made up of saved, baptized believers, but also there has to be a certain level of right living baptized believers, right? 1 Corinthians chapter 5, 1 Corinthians chapter 5, there are sins where the church has been told that some people have to be removed out of the membership of the church. Now, they're never going to be removed off of the foundation of Jesus Christ. Praise God for that. But 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 9, it says, and I'm not going to read the whole chapter. You can read it to get the whole context of it. But it says, I wrote unto you in an epistle not to company with fornicators, yet not altogether with the fornicators of this world, or with the covetous or extortioners, or with idolaters, for then must ye needs go out of the world. Look, the world's a bad place. We can't get out of the world. The person working beside you might be a fornicator. The person working beside you might be an extortionist. The person working beside you might be an idolater. He says, I'm not telling you not to talk to that person. That person needs Jesus. But the Bible says in verse 11, but now have I written unto you not to keep company if any man that is called a brother. What is this? A saved person that says, I'm a brother in Christ. I believe in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, and I'm a part of the church. He says, if somebody that's called a brother be a fornicator or covetous or an idolater or a railer or a drunkard or an extortioner, with such an one know not to eat. For what have I to do to judge them also that are without? Do not ye judge them that are within, but them that are without God judgeth. Therefore put away from among yourselves that wicked person. So occasionally, in the building of the church, someone gets completely messed up and they're no longer a good building material. Anybody ever build something with blocks? You get a broken brick, and it's like, that's going to mess things up a little bit. The guy says, look, if somebody that's a brother is going out and they're living in fornication. Now, we're not talking about somebody that fell into sin and they're repentant and they're saying, boy, I need help. Pray for me. I don't want to be doing this. Versus someone who just openly says, I'm going to move in with this person and I don't care what anybody thinks about it. There's a difference. A person that's struggling, saying, man, I'm so sorry. I drank again yesterday. I know God doesn't want me to. I don't want to. Would you pray for me? There's a difference between that and someone that's going down to the bar every Friday night, calling themselves a Christian, and they're drinking. An idolater. Okay, there's there's a difference between open, blatant sin that a person purposely is going to do and there's no repentance, and a person who's struggling with something. Because let me ask you something. How many of you have struggled with something? Yeah. And so sometimes a person just says, look, that's not good building material. They have to be put out of the church. They're still on the foundation. They're still saved. Jesus Christ still paid for their sins. The purpose of them being set aside is for them to realize, I'm not useful here. I need to get right. That's the purpose. That's the desire. That's always the desire. And by the way, Jesus can fix this. I can't do it right now. But Jesus can fix that. And can put a person back beautifully into the church. The church is made up of believers who are baptized, right living, but then the building must be organized in their proper place. Right? Would you ever walk up to us, building materials laying all over a property and say, oh, look at that fine house? You wouldn't do that. You see boards and roofing, and you can look at it and say, I see what this could be, but it's not built yet. If you show up to purchase a house and they say, oh boy, this house is $200,000, and you show up and there's some lumber and some roofing and some bricks, say, well, it's not together, right? And so it's not organized. A church has to be organized together. Now, churches meet. And pretty standard, this is what you see on Easter Sunday, right? This isn't even going to work. Something like this is what you might see on a normal Sunday. Some of the members are there, some of them are missing. Yet they're all on the foundation. They're out there somewhere. But they're not assembled together. You get down to a Sunday night. Sometimes church can look more like that on a Sunday night. You know, hey, everybody's still on the foundation. But how about being together with the assembly? Look, I know some people can't drive at night. Look, I understand those things. Nobody's picking on somebody because of health issues or those kind of things. That's not what it's about. But if you can be, you ought to be. Now, let's look at Saturday evangelization. Looks more like that. The ministries of the church. Participation in the ministries of the church. Now, brethren, these things ought not so to be. Because, yeah, we're members of the church, but we're not in place, we're not organized, we're participating. And what happens? This. How many people, when you go out door knocking, how many, well, yeah, I'm saved. You go to church anywhere? No.
Do you know literally hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people say, I know Jesus as my Savior. And you ask them if they go to church anywhere. They're this. They're all on the cornerstone. But they're not building together. You have to build. Whoops, nobody can fall off the foundation. All right. You have to build and be built together. And doesn't it look better when people are built together? Now, I'm not going to rebuild the whole thing just for the sake of time. But you get the idea. You have a beautiful built building here. Now, buildings are built to serve a function, right? A gymnasium has what function? Sports. A factory has what function? Manufacturing. Let me read you something. This is just something that somebody sent me. Youth pastor. Yeah, absolutely. We'd love to partner with you in discipling your kids in what it means to love and follow Jesus. We meet every Sunday at the church at 9 a.m., and then we have Sunday school later. We will get them connected with a youth leader who walks with them. And once a month, we have a gathering for students with some midweek discipleship things. And the parent often says, oh, wow, that's a lot. Let me try to figure this out. Sports coach, theater director. Your kid shows remarkable talent. We'd like to help you. We meet every day for 2 hours. They can't be late. Also, we need you to invest thousands of dollars in practice coaching equipment because of the cost of making it isn't cheap. And we have practice every night for 9 months and 64 games this season, all day Saturday and Sunday. Your entire family will need to orientate your life around this. Parent, wonderful. We'll be there. Won't miss it. Is that not the truth of our society today? So, what's the function? The function of a house is to keep the rain off your head. If it has air conditioning, to keep you cool in the summer. If it has heat, to keep you warm in the winter. A place of safety to keep people from getting your possessions or coming in and killing you while you're sleeping on the open ground. A house is a thing of protection. So how about the church? What is the function of the church? The church is to glorify and worship God. The whole body built together, the purpose of this building being built together is to glorify and worship God. We do that when we come to worship Him on Sunday, on Sunday night, on Wednesday night. We sing songs, songs that have meaning, songs that glorify our Savior, songs that point us toward Him. We go out remembering when I'm out there on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday, I'm still part of the church. I'm still a member of the church. And I need to be a light in this community to bring honor and glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. My speech, my language, the places I go, the things I do should all bring honor and glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the function of the church. The church, function-wise, is to be the pillar and ground of the truth. It's what the Bible says. The truth. Let me show you something. I'm going to build these a little bit this direction so you can see. You get going and you've got the truth. Oftentimes, the church says, well, I don't know if we actually have a Bible that's 100% accurate. You know, it's pretty close, but people get away from the King James Bible. And then they say, you know what? In order to reach the world, we need to have a little more of the world music. You know, because you know what? Young people aren't going to come to church if you sing the old hymns. So, well, you know, let's compromise. And usually it's a little bit of a slow process, and they go through that process and bring it down. You know, we'll keep some hymns, and we're going to mix it up a little bit and bring it on down. And then say, well, holy living is getting to be kind of a burden. You know, nobody wants to hear how you should live. Nobody wants to hear how you should dress for the Lord. No one wants to hear about, you know, what your speech should be anymore. No one wants to hear anymore that you should abstain from all alcohol. No one wants to hear this stuff. And so, you know what? Let's just, you know, we'll just let it slide just a little bit. And pretty soon, a little bit at a time, shift it over, it collapses. The church is the pillar and ground of the truth. Every block has to be set upon every other block. We can't compromise. Look, the world's full of compromise. We need a beautiful building. Now, the function of the church is the Great Commission. The Bible, Jesus says to the church, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe what? All things whatsoever I have commanded you. Okay, so you function of the church. As was mentioned in Missions Conference, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the uttermost parts of the earth. Okay, our job as a church. Look, this guy here, he's not on the foundation. He needs to get on the foundation. Hey, we got three guys over here. They're not on the foundation. If they die, they're going to hell. Who will go out and get one of them and get them to the foundation and tell them about Jesus Christ? It is the job of this unit to get out there and give the gospel to people and tell people about the Lord Jesus Christ and get them onto the foundation. It is the job of this group of people, say, man, that guy, he's a long ways over there in Madagascar. Well, I can't go to Madagascar right now. I'm here. You got jobs. Well, hey, guess what? Here comes a guy. His name is Ben Angel. He says, hey, see that guy over there in Madagascar? I want to reach him for the Lord Jesus Christ. Can the church help me? Hey, can you all help me? And the church says, hey, yeah, you know what? I'll give a little bit to missions. And I'll give a little bit to missions, and I'll give a little bit to missions. We'll do that. And we give that, we send that money to Ben Angel, and Ben Angel gets on a plane, and he flies all the way over here to Madagascar, and he says, hey, brother, Jesus died for you. You need Jesus. And this guy gets saved, and while Ben Angel is here reporting back to his churches, this guy's preaching at the church in Madagascar. Why? He's got to be over here on the foundation. We've got a church in Madagascar. All right. What happens? Great Commission. Go, baptize, teach all things. You know what? Besides this, going out and getting the lost. Any lost people left? No. Okay. We got this guy here on the foundation, he's on the foundation, but he's not in the church. Somebody needs to say, hey, you know what? The Bible talks about baptism. The Bible talks about right living. And somebody says, hey, you need to follow the Lord in baptism. You need to live right. And the church gets built up by people participating in and what happens occasionally? Well, I'm red and you're blue and I'm mad at you. Okay, poetry, you didn't know I had it in me, did you? That's about my level. But look, and so all of a sudden red's gone. I'm getting out of the church because I didn't like what Blue said. You see, there's some beautiful principles in the Word of God that are just summed up by simply seeing this illustration. Let's everybody take a look and say, okay, where am I at this morning? Are you over here? Are you lost without Jesus Christ? Have you been saved? Have you trusted Christ as your Savior? Yes or no? If you're lost, Jesus died for you. He loves you and He wants to save you. He wants to save you. Maybe you're here and you're saved. You're on the foundation, but you have not joined the church. You haven't been baptized yet. And come before the church, say, I want to get baptized to demonstrate, look, I want to be a part of this assembly. And look, before we do that, we talk with people, give them the church constitution, you know, just different things. Look, we want somebody to, oh yeah, I want to be a part of your church. You got to know what our church is. We do the best that we can to let people know, hey, this is what we are. We're an independent Baptist Bible-believing church. We strive. We're not perfect, but we strive to live the Bible, not just know what it says. And maybe that's you today. You're on the foundation, but you're not part of the church. Look, I'm not hyping up the church. Jesus created the church. It's not a man-made institution. And let me say this, there's no perfect church. If you're looking for a perfect church, I'm sorry. We are not that. But we are a church, and we strive to be Bible-based. And then maybe you're a member of the church. Maybe you're not living right now. You need to get some things taken care of. Maybe you're a member of the church, but it's been a long time since you actually told someone about the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. Maybe you're a member of the church, but you really haven't done anything to get the gospel out, the Great Commission out. You take wherever you're at, whatever God has for you today. Obviously, I can't hit everything. Whatever God has for you, will you take it and assess where you're at? Let God speak to your heart. And then you take that and take it home, think on it, and make some decisions. Because God gives us the picture in the Word of God, the church, seen as a building. And we see just how vital it is for the whole to work together. God wants a complete building. Let's stand to our feet. We'll have an invitation at this time. Father, I ask that you would help us. God, your word gives the illustration of a building. And Lord, we see we're standing inside of a building right now. And we're glad it's all in place. And we're glad that it's all structurally sound. God, I pray that our church would be. And God, that you would add to us as you see fit. God, that you would help us to be about the gospel, about giving to missions, about going out locally and talking to people about the Lord Jesus. People need to be saved. God, help us to be here and participating, be part of the building. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. As the piano plays, if you've got something to pray about today, I'd encourage you to come and talk to the Lord. Pray and ask God to help you. Take your own life and just assess and say, what part do I have? Where am I at in this building? Is there anyone here today that say, Pastor, I'm not sure I'm saved. If I were to die today, I would go to hell. I need to be saved. Is there anybody like that? If anybody is here and you look at it and say, you know, I've been coming for a while, but I haven't officially joined the church or become a member of the church. If you want to do that, talk to me. It's one thing to attend. It's a whole nother to get in and be involved. Maybe you're here and you're saved and you're baptized and you're a member of the church. You say, I need to be talking to other people about the Lord Jesus more. Look, missions conference is great for that. God really worked on my heart this week. There's so much. I mean, we go out and we knock on some doors and we go out and we bring in some children. But boy, there's people out there that need to be witnessed to. Day in and day out, we come across them. All right, we're so glad that you're here. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you, God, that you would just meet with us this morning. And God, that we can come before you. And God, that you want us. The fact that you want us is an amazing thing. And God, I pray that you would help all of us to just take and assess our own lives and to think about it. God, bring us back again tonight. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.